So honestly, the dark horse is Orlando. The favorites, of course, are Boston and Milwaukee in that order. But I don't take Philly super seriously in, for this year's playoffs. And of course, I don't even think about the Knicks as a real playoff threat either.
Yeah, they just, you know, the Knicks are the Knicks. They're gonna be there. I mean, they're gonna fight hard. They're gonna, you know, probably win the first round matchup, and then, you know, the rest is history.
But I mean, but also look at it this way: if they don't have OG and they don't have Randall, can they win a first round matchup? Maybe if it's against like the Hawks or the Bulls, then yeah, of course they could. But if they stay in this 4-5 between them and Orlando, Orlando's going to beat them. I don't see how Orlando loses to the Knicks in a first round series if there's no Randall and no Anunoby. I think Orlando would win pretty handily in that series.
Yep, I agree with you on that too, man. You know, I think it's really a lot of this is wide open. I mean, the competition is so tight. It's not really a true, you know, runaway of their conference. Boston, you know, they've been on cruise control for a while, but that's it. Other than that, you know, both of these divisions slash conferences are pretty they're pretty tight, pretty congested, pretty tight.
You know, outside of the Thunder and Denver, where, you know, like I like Minnesota, their story is great, but I just don't think they're going to go very far. We've talked about this other team, and I think I'll get out of here after this. But we've talked about this last team we're going to discuss, and Derek, you really like discussing this team too. The New Orleans Pelicans, I think they are a team that you just don't know what you're going to get. Are you going to get this Zion that has lost weight, that looks pretty good, that has, you know, that's been playing most of the season? And we see that the Pelicans are pretty close to, you know, being the 5 seed, or between them and Sacramento, switching out the 5 and 6 seeds out west. This Pelicans team is interesting to me, and it would be very interesting to see how it will play out. I like this Pelicans team. I think they have some oomph. They have some pizzazz. They have, of course, star power with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. CJ McCollum has had a kind of a bad stretch of the season. He hasn't been shooting very well. But you know what? The Pelicans are not a bad team. I don't think that they're this crazy dark horse that can get to the finals like, of course, the Heat did last year. But can the Pelicans win a first-round playoff series? I think the answer is yes, that they could. And that would kind of throw some stuff for a loop, I think, in the Western Conference. But I don't think we should be sleeping on New Orleans.
No, we shouldn't. I mean, they're another team that's they've done it the right way. And, you know, can't help but, you know, congratulate them on the way they've conducted their business. Yeah.
To me, what would be a fascinating series if we did see it is New Orleans and the Clippers. That would be an absolutely fascinating series of, can Zion's star power be good enough to beat a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden team? And I think that would be a really fun thing to see. The Clippers are pretty deep. I think the Clippers are good. But we have seen time and time again that they just have not been able to make it work. They have not been able to put it together in the playoffs. And so I think it would be the most fascinating way to see, can the Pelicans upset a team like the Clippers, or can they upset a team like, of course, Minnesota? I think that would be a lot of fun to watch and to see, especially for Zion, because Zion has obviously had a lot of criticism about his weight. He has dropped some weight, and it has made him be a lot different. We have seen him differently, and I think we value him a little differently now. Because the Pelicans are good enough, obviously, I think they're going to fight off the Kings to be able to not have to be a playing team. And to me, the Pelicans are just a really interesting team to watch out for, because as we both know, Zion can win a playoff series by himself. Yeah. He is that good, and he should be taken that seriously. Because there's really not a lot of people in the league that can really go toe-to-toe with him on the inside anywhere. It doesn't matter if he's shorter than an Anthony Davis or a Gobert. He is stronger than them. And to me, that matters, especially in the playoffs when you can slow it down, you can get guys into foul trouble, and he's like a dude that he can put guys into foul trouble by himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially with the way maybe out there fielding those balls in foul territory. So I don't know if I'll make it.
The West is pretty open, as you said. You know, outside of OKC and Denver, I think the West is really open. It will be really fun to see. You know, these four teams duke it out in, of course, the play-in tournament, which honestly would be, I think, four pretty good games, because I think Golden State has – they're the most desperate out of those four. The Lakers and the Suns have the most to lose out of those four, and the Kings are just the Kings. I mean, they don't really do a whole lot at the deadline. They do things like re-signing Harrison Barnes in free agency, which makes zero sense at all. So the Kings are just the Kings. Like, you know, Fox can get hot, Sabonis can get a triple-double, and all of a sudden the Kings are going to, you know, they can make some noise. But outside of that, I don't know. The Kings are a little hollow to me. The Suns have at least something to go with, because they have those three guys with Nurkic and Eric Gordon and Grayson Allen, and they have stuff, but on the defensive side is where they really lack. So with them lacking there, to me, I'm not really too big on Phoenix, but I think the flaws of teams like the Kings and the Warriors and, of course, the Lakers, the Suns are just a little bit better than them. What do you think? How do you rate Dallas in the West?
Man.
Because they got to be, the sixth seed right now?
Yes. Yeah. Number two. Yeah.
So how do you, what do you think of Dallas? I mean, I think Dallas is pretty flawed as well, like Sacramento, but they're just a better version of that because Luka Doncic and Kyrie is better than Sabonis and Fox. But what do you make of Dallas?
Hold on, say that again. What I make of who? You cut out.
What do you make of Dallas? The Dallas Mavericks.
I think Dallas. I'm not gonna say sneaky, because obviously you got Luka. You're not gonna sneak up on anybody that much. But
who?
I think Dallas could be a wild card team as far as if they get in the playoffs and everything is going right, they could be a very tough out. They've shown, you know, throughout the whole season that they could, you know, score many different ways. However they need to get it done, it doesn't matter. They get it done. I think where they at right now? Fifth seed, two games behind the Clippers for the fourth seed, and they've really turned up their level of play in the second half of the season. So I don't know if they can make the fourth spot or not. We'll see. But I think they got a chance, man. I think they got a chance.
So then you would be looking at a Mavericks Clippers series in round one, 4-5 matchup.
Yeah, I think Dallas. I'm gonna say. Because I honestly, they could beat OKC, you know, Timberwolves, Nuggets. They will have to be longer series, obviously. But I think we can make them a partial contender.
Yeah, like I would say that Dallas and New Orleans are kind of grouped in their own way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if a Luka or a Zion just took over a series and beat a higher seed. In Dallas's case, it would be the Clippers. In New Orleans's case, it's whoever is the third seed out of course, the Denver, OKC, and Minnesota trio there. I look at New Orleans and Dallas kind of the same, right? They have this great superstar, of course, Zion and Luka Doncic. They have a really good second player in Brandon Ingram and, of course, Kyrie Irving. And then the rest is this kind of a hodgepodge of maybe you get a really hot Tim Hardaway Jr. and maybe you get a really hot Trey Murphy for New Orleans. Like a Herb Jones is a great perimeter defender, but he's not a good scorer. Where Dallas gave up a first round pick to get Daniel Gafford, who's this really good defensive center.
Yeah.
But he's like a rim running center. He's not an outside dude. Dallas's center depth is awkward because it's like it's Maxi Kleber, it's Dwight Powell, and they got Derek Lively, and of course Daniel Gafford. All four of them are different players, so they're a little weird. They have better size, like depth wise, that they could throw out against the Vince Zubats, where if it was Dallas and the Clippers, so Dallas would have an advantage because they have so much center depth. But can Luka and Kyrie take on Harden, Kawhi, and George? And, of course, you know, Westbrook gets pretty crazy in a playoff series, too. So,
yeah.
You know, I think the Mavericks would just be a little outnumbered in that way, where if the Clippers are healthy, which they have been this year, they can put the clamps on defensively as long as George and Kawhi are healthy. So I got to give the cap to the Clippers in the series like that. And once we see the matchups, we'll obviously re-go through them. But I think we're predicting pretty much where these guys are going to be playing round one here. And I think the Clippers would just beat the Mavericks in that series. Unless Luka's averaging like 50 points a game, then obviously they're not going to win. But to me, the Dallas just doesn't have enough in a series like that.
Yep. So I got something here. So Cleveland and who's that? Phoenix? Yeah, Cleveland and Phoenix is the second game here on ESPN. So, but back to this debate. Yeah, so looking at this thing here, let's see, four. So how would the matches go? They had a play-in game, and then you will have one against eight after they do the whole play-in deal. So one against eight.
Yeah, one versus eight, two versus seven, three versus six, and then four versus five.
Okay, so yeah, they need to definitely. Yeah, I think they can get
the focus will of course be on the play-in tournament.
Yeah,
but I personally think the Lakers and the Suns will get out of the play-in tournament out of Sacramento and Golden State as not getting out of the play-in tournament. Then you would get, let me see, the Lakers are the lower seed, the Suns. So then you would get whoever the one, you know, these top three seeds, they're only a half game apart. So honestly, it's kind of hard to say who the top three seeds would be. So the West is kind of jumbled up like that up top, where, of course, the East and Boston, they are... You know, they'll play a team like the Hawks, or they'll play a team like the Bulls in round one and beat the doors off them. That's really what would happen. Yeah. There's really no big, bold prediction in a series like that. It's, you know, Boston's offensive scoring ability, their defense, their depth is just too much for a lot of these teams that are on the fringe in the East. But out West, I do think the Lakers and the Suns will get out of the play-in. They're good enough to at least get out of the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking Clippers and Mavericks round one, I think the edge goes to the Clippers. And if we're talking, I guess it's still hard to predict of like who's going to be the one, two, and three seeds right now. So, gun to my head, I think OKC will be two, Denver will be one, and Minnesota will be three is how I would view it. And if I'm the Pelicans, like, I would want to play Minnesota round one 100%. I would like to see them round one if I were the Pelicans. So I still think Minnesota's better, but the Pelicans have a compelling case to potentially upset Minnesota in round one is how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I think the West, is not as open. I think that, I believe the Eastern Conference is more wide open. Obviously, we don't want the Knicks. We don't want the Knicks to make a deep run. That'll just eliminate our whole thing with Ramrod and the way he coach if the Knicks make a run. But I think, obviously we've seen the Heat throughout the years do it. Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, 4-6 wins, Milwaukee 4-7 wins. I mean, outside of Boston, it's a toss-up. In the West, it's more, you know, okay, Denver's the class, Minnesota's the class, OKC, they're the class of the West. I would even say the Clippers, from where they were at and where they are now, that, you know, they're one of the hottest teams in the league. And then you got Dallas. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. New Orleans Pelicans. On any given night, they could probably beat anybody on this list. What could they, as a 6 seed, make a deep run?
Like, we're talking Western Conference Finals run, is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
The only path that they have to do that is, let's say they played Minnesota round one. I think realistically that could be a victory in a playoff series for the New Orleans Pelicans. They somehow get, you know, an upset, like if it's OKC versus Phoenix and Phoenix is just red hot all series in round one, and somehow OKC loses, then you got a Pelican-Suns series that ultimately could be a toss-up, I think, at that point. Because even KD and Nurkic, they can't guard Zion. I don't think they can. I would be surprised if KD can hang with Zion for an entire series. I don't think he can. Grayson Allen can't. That's for freaking sure. Mm-hmm. Royce O'Neal, they could probably throw at him. Nurkic, not really, because they got Valanciunas as well. So I think the Pelicans have a little more firepower than people want to lead on. Trey Murphy can get really hot from deep, and Herb Jones can actually help against Kevin Durant quite a bit in a series. I like that if it were that matchup. Now, if it's OKC versus New Orleans, Zion would still have his way, but I think OKC has good enough defenders to give Brandon Ingram a lot of fits, and of course CJ McCollum as well. So I would lean OKC in a series versus New Orleans. But if somehow OKC gets upset and the Pelicans are better than Minnesota, then yes, you have an improbable run, like obviously the Lakers made last year to the Western Conference Finals. Derek, I'm going to give it a 20% chance.
Hey, 20% is better than no percent. So, hey, yeah, but you know that they're a talented team. They got some talent on the team. Zion is playing Zion capable basketball. That puts them at a different level. Yeah. As long as everybody else around him continues to play, if he can step it up, you know, in the playoffs, you know, your 20%, I'll take it. But they'll give somebody a run for their money in that series. And right now, I mean, that is six, so that would mean they will go to Oklahoma City. That's not a good matchup. I mean, first round,
I don't think it is.
Yeah,
I don't think it is. I don't think it is for New Orleans, but Pelicans, I think you have to take him very seriously, not just kind of seriously. I think very seriously, and especially because where Zion is at. And With that being said, I'm gonna get out of here, and within the next week, I'm gonna type up some Anthony Bennett. We're gonna talk about some Anthony Bennett before my first softball game for spring season next Wednesday. So hey,
make sure you get the make sure you work on that core, get the core nice and strong, and get the shoulders and the arms and all that stuff nice and loose, you know, so you don't pull any muscles out there trying to swing for the fences. I know how it is.
That's right. I will do my best on that. Pool work has done very well for me in previous years to get ready, and that's going to do it for me. I'm going to go with that again, and we're going to talk the five worst players in the NBA. You know, dust off that NBA on NBC music, and we'll be ready to go. Some John Tesh for our yearly talk about the five worst players in the NBA.
All right, brother, man. Hey, as always, I appreciate you coming on with us. Anytime we got my man Nicholas Lane on, it's always a good show, good time. And we will see you in a week or so with the Anthony Bennett All-Stars and some more NBA conversation, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rat Pack Sports Show's NBA Insider, Mr. Nicholas Lane. And, a lot of stuff happening. A lot of scenarios coming down the stretch in the playoff run. Got some fresh faces getting ready to enter the playoffs for the first time. You got some other teams that are a little bit more seasoned and experienced in it. So you see how it is. And then you just, you know, take care of business. You go for it. So with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we got about 30, 40 minutes left in the show. And we'll get into some NFL news here. Because we got some things to talk about. Especially the big time trade that was made at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. So we're gonna get into that. But before that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back on the other side. You're listening to the Rat Pack Sports Show. We're live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, streaming online, ratpacksports.com. We will be back. ride. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live. Rat Pack Radio. WRPR. Wednesday night. This is the Rat Pack Sports Show. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we had Nicholas Lane on with us just a few minutes ago. And I want to thank him for coming on. And just show him the love and the appreciation that a great mind like himself is when we're talking the NBA. This guy knows it all, so appreciate him for calling in. But we're here, man, and we got some NBA on the TV right now. Phoenix, Cleveland. Phoenix are up 30-18. And, you know, Bobo has become a fan favorite over here in Phoenix. And Bobo was somebody when he was with the Magic. He was also one of those fan favorite type of players. He's got some skill. And, you know, I was kind of shocked when the Magic traded him. I thought he was a piece to the puzzle. Obviously, a lot of his minutes and time came when, you know, Isaac was out of the lineup, injured the last couple seasons. So with Isaac back and Jonathan Isaac getting back in the groove of things, you know, Bobo becomes expendable. But, since going over to Phoenix, he's been playing a lot, man. Almost similar to KD. He's not KD, we all know that, but when KD leaves a game, Bobo goes in. He's not KD, he doesn't have that, he has the skill set, but he is not KD. But that's how he's getting his minutes, and he's been productive, for him since going over there. But he's been playing, good basketball. So, yeah. But we got some other news, some other things we got to get into here. Because, I'm waiting on William Graves to call in. I know he's busy, so we may not get him tonight. But we're going to sit here and we're going to work on him, though. But here it is. We're going to get into some NFL. Big news. Coming down today about, I didn't even think it was real. So, I'm at work, when I'm in the truck, I was listening to the Rays game on the radio, and then the post game show after that. And then I guess, sometime in between that, after the post-game show was over with, they, went to a commercial. I didn't realize it was at a commercial break. And then, when they come back from the commercial break, the show was over with, but they had them went into the regular radio programming, and this guy was on the phone and he was talking to the NFL, and he was talking about, you know, this situation, and, you know, the way my mind works, I'm like, you know, what is this man on the baseball show talking about football? I didn't realize that they hadn't changed the, you know, audience and everything to more of a football-friendly thing. So he's talking, and the guy says, yeah, if you're going to get rid of him, you know, at least, you know, try to get something for him and all this and that. And I'm like, hold on, what's going on? So I look at my boy that works with me. I say, let me make sure I'm understanding correctly what's happening here. Did I just hear Stephon Diggs was just traded to the Houston Texans? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, man, that completely caught me and a whole bunch of other people off guard. Because Diggs has been a major piece to, you know, the puzzle over there in Buffalo. But I've realized, you know, over the years, watching watching Diggs and, you know, play over there in Buffalo with Josh Allen, you know, a lot of times Josh Allen will get himself in trouble, you know, make a few bad throws, bad reads, trying to get the ball into the hands of Stephon Diggs. And, you know, the throws will come at inopportune times. And, you know, he'll just throw bad interceptions. So maybe they felt like, you know, a change was needed, because in order for Josh Allen to bump it up to that next level, you know, he's going to need a different voice in that receiver room that is going to resonate the same message through and through. They didn't feel that way. So they released, well, let me think how they did this. I can't remember. Well, so how important and how big is this move of everything going good, but doing all right. So with that being said, yeah, it's going to be tough for Buffalo. You know, I got a couple of friends. They're not too ecstatic about it. They know they're going to need some work to be done and stuff like that leading up. So we'll see how much more better everything got this past year. So ouch. All right, so yeah, so that's the move. Like I said, a lot of Bills fans that I know, I thought they would be like real upset and, you know, mad about the whole thing. But a lot of them said the same thing. You know, it's time. So Buffalo have a little bit of a facelift on the offensive end, I mean defensive side. And yeah, so 2025 pick for the Texans, which is a good pick. So, in other news, let's go ahead here. All right, so just looking at some here. My bad for the dead air. So we got a few things here. Everybody know about the incident with Chiefs Rice that was racing and hit a bunch of cars, 6-car pile up, and then he, you know, his car managed to be able to ride off, no scratches. So, Rice met with Dallas PD, issued a policy for basically going on the run. Just got into the digs, traded to the Texans, Lions. So Yeah, that'll be that. Lions. Let's see. Lions sign the offer sheet. Match the offer sheet with tight end Wright. Buccaneers, my team, finally. Rush signed somebody who could get to the quarterback. All right, so obviously I'm distracted here. So what we're going to do, we're going to wrap this thing up, and we'll come back. We'll try for it. All right, so that is gonna about do it for us here. Again, like I said, we'll catch you guys on the next side, rappetsportshow.podbean.com. You can download our podcast there. This week we'll be going up here. I still have to post last week's podcast as well. So I'm going to probably do like a dump all at once. You just get a whole bunch of them, you know, to remind you that, you know, we're here. We're here. But we gonna get out of here, man. As always, it's been fun. It's been real. And, you know, every week we come on, it's always a good time. So, with that being said, we're going to get on up out of here. And we'll see you guys next week live, Rat Pack Radio, WR. This is a Rat Pack Sports Show. We're out of here, man. Peace.